So as we want to turn our attention now to the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 8, verses 22 through 25, this very familiar text, and you've probably heard many sermons on this text, but this is the text we want to look at today. Maybe you'll hear something a little unique. Maybe you won't, but it'll be something new for you today. And I'm noticing the time, so we're going to look here in this passage in verse 22. The Bible records this. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." The power and the sovereignty of our Savior. That even the wind and the waters obey him. Pray with me. God, as we come to you, we come humbly, understanding who you are, that you are God, the one true God, and God, that you have all power, you have all control, your hands is in everything, God, and we pray that you, that God, you would have mercy on us. That God, you would pour your grace upon us. And that God, that you would be with us this day. Help us as we open your word to receive and honor your word. Help us, God, to apply it to our lives and use it, God, as we go out in this world to be a light for you. Now, God, we pray that if there's any with us today who doesn't have a relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, that they'll see who this man is. And they'll call out, "What must I do to be saved?" And God, with your power and your sovereignty, we know you're just and faithful to forgive them of their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. God, we're not able to cleanse ourselves, but you have the power to make us right with you. God, we're looking to you. We're trusting you in Jesus' name. Amen. We've just come out of a very powerful storm. And I imagine this same text is being read in a lot of churches this morning. This storm, it was so powerful, they called it Hurricane Florence. What I'm finding is interesting about what we hear people say concerning this storm is we begin to try to explain why God allowed this to take place. It's interesting that we as people, we will want to give an explanation to the mind of God when we don't know the mind of God. What's funny to me is what we'll often do is point a finger at someone else's sins and say, "Because you're living this way, or because of this and because of that, God's allowing this to happen." What's funny is that everyone else's sins is worthy of God doing this, but our sins isn't. Our own sins isn't worthy of it. In our minds, that is. But what the Bible does tell us is in Matthew 5 and 45, it says that makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. And He sends rain on the just and the unjust. It was been easy for me to say this week that last time, about 23 months ago, we saw communities come together. What we really didn't see, and it really went over our heads, was communities helping communities. What we saw was communities helping that community. And it's been easy for me to be critical because here now in this storm, it happens to be at election time. And it's been very easy for me to say that God's trying to get our attention and here's what all of them are doing. But I believe God really, with this storm, you know, last time they said it's a 100-year storm. We'll never see it again in our lifetime. In less than 2 years, we see it. And more devastating than before. I think sometimes we find ourselves in storms, even when we're exactly where God wants us to be. And just maybe God is wanting to put on display His power and His sovereignty. Instead of us trying to figure out God, why don't we just glorify God? We've got reason to, don't we? We're here today. We're in a building filled with air conditioning and padded pews and people who love the Lord. We've got reason to just glorify His name and just trust Him in everything that He allows to take place in our lives. Yes, I believe He really, truly wants us just to see His power and His sovereignty. And we begin seeing this in this text when we see the humanity of Jesus. Now, the humanity of Jesus is seen here. And just to see the humanity of Jesus shows us His power. Now I might have your ear. To see the humanity of Jesus shows us His power. Now, here, the humanity of Jesus begins off by Jesus wanting help from men. Can you imagine that? Jesus Christ is calling on other men to help Him out. And that's what He does. Right here, He says, now it happened on a certain day that He got into a boat with His disciples and said to them, let us cross over to the other side. He was looking for their help, for them to carry Him to the other side in the boat. He got in a boat with these men because they were professional fishermen. They knew how to handle boats on water. He wanted their help to get to the other side. Now, what we know is that He's 100% God. But we got to remember He's 100% man also. And before we can understand Him being 100% God, we first need to understand Him being 100% man. But when we come to understand that He is 100% man, we see just how much of a God He is. While here on earth, as 100% man, Jesus was, like you and I, confined to space and time. And if you go through the Gospel of Luke, what you'll find is Luke presents Jesus as the Son of Man, while Matthew presents Him as the King, and Mark presents Him as a servant. John presents Him as the Son of God, because John starts off that He is God. The Word was God, and the Word, He was the Word. And the Bible here in the Gospel of Luke, it helps us to see that He's the Son of Man. He wants us to understand that though He is God, He is man. He's human. He's flesh and blood. And can you imagine that? That the God of glory, the one who spoke the world into existence, that separated the land from the sea, He actually came down in the form of a man. Man, that proves just how much of a God He is. You and I have never been God, but God came down to be like us. Well, what we find is He wants to get to the other side of the lake. Jesus could have walked on water to the other side of the lake. As a matter of fact, it's recorded in the Gospels that He did walk on the other, walk to the other side. In John's Gospel, in chapter 6, 15 through 21, the Bible says this, therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He departed again to the mountain by Himself alone. And when evening
came. His disciples went down to the sea and got into a boat and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was already dark and Jesus had not come to them. And then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. And when he had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, or when they had rowed about 3 to 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. Here he is. He didn't need their help, but he called out for their help. He showed his humanity. That some would say, well, he might not have known how terrible the sea was going to get. As a matter of fact, in John's gospel, he helps us to understand that the sea was in an uproar when Jesus was walking on the sea. Here we see in Luke's gospel that he is 100% man. And he's calling for the help of these men, wanting them to get him to the other side. Now the question becomes, why? Why was it so important that he get to the other side? Well, this begins to prove also his humanity. He wanted to get away from the crowd. Don't you sometimes need to just get by yourself? I mean, there are times when Iola would look at me and say, don't you need to go play golf, or don't you need to go to the church? I just need to be here by myself. And there are times when I need to just get by myself and just spend time with God. Sometimes when I don't need the crowd around. Here, Jesus, he was trying to get away from the crowd. He had been teaching. He had been answering questions all day. And it appeared like what happens to you and me, that the pressure and the physical strain had gotten to him. He couldn't just walk away from them because they would have followed him wherever he went. They couldn't get enough of Jesus. They couldn't get enough of hearing him speak to them. And how many of you parents today, how many of you remember when your children were young, when they were small, when they became inquisitive for the very first time? Do you remember that? Do you remember how when they begin to ask this one question all the time, and you would answer that question and they would hang on every word, and then just a little bit later they were saying, as soon as you finished up, you were tired of explaining it, and they would ask the same question again? You remember that question, don't you? It's that three-letter word. It's why. They would ask you why. You explain it. Then they'd say, why? You try to explain that. Then you say, why? You would get exhausted and you'd need to get away from them from time to time. Don't try to fool me. I've got a child. I know there were times when you were just tired of them asking that question. Why? Why? Yeah, it would get exhausting just hearing it. I remember when Taylor was in elementary school, she would wear Iola and me out. When we got off work and we got home, she is bouncing off the walls. We'd go talk with the teachers and they'd say, Lord, if I had a class just like, a class full like her, we'd look at each other. Kristen Taylor Woodell. Yeah. If we had a class like her, filled with her, we'd just love it. But she'd wear us out when she got home. You know, the good thing about that was, there, we knew she was behaving in class by what the teachers were saying. But when we got home, it was almost torture sometimes. And there are times, even now, Taylor's grown. She's 23 years old. She's grown. She'll come, and if she's worked all night and she's woke up and I'm in the office and Iola's at work, she's got no one to talk to. Her friends are at work because it's the middle of the morning. And she'll come and she'll sit on the steps there in my office and she'll start talking. And okay. And in about 3-4 minutes, it's nonstop. And I'm almost wore out after those 3 or 4 minutes. That happens. We get wore out with people from time to time. And Jesus had got worn out with people. But what was interesting here is that they just couldn't get enough of him. They couldn't get enough of hearing everything that he had to say. Here he was worn out with them. You know, I wonder sometimes, does he get worn out with us? Because we want him at our beck and call. We don't want to give ourselves to him, but we want him to give himself to us. I think the problem is that we can't get enough of his attention, but he don't get enough of our attention. I think God desires our affection. He desires our devotion. He desires our attention. He desires us to focus on Him. And if we, instead we're calling out to Him for what we want rather than giving Him what He desires, which is us. He don't need our money. He don't need our time. He don't need our devotion, but He desires it. You know, the difference in that is we need His. We need Him. I want my wife. I desire my wife. I desire to have my child in my life. But I need Jesus. I want to be your pastor. I desire to be here for a long time. But I need Jesus more than I need to be here. And I hope you feel the same way. That we have a need for Him. And if we ever want to really get close, we hear it often. I just want more of Jesus. I want to draw closer to Him. Well, if we don't open this book, we'll never draw close to Him. It don't matter how much we pray. If we don't open this book and spend time here, we'll never draw close to Him. We often hear so much. But this book helps us to draw to Him. It helps us to see our need for Him. It helps us to see how much He desires our devotion. As a matter of fact, Psalms 119 and 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The word of God will not be that lamp to our feet. It will not be a light to our path until we fall in love with it. When we fall in love with the word of God, we'll fall in love with God. We can't be in love with God and not be in love with His word. But not only did he want to just get away from the crowd because they pressed him, because they wore him out, but Jesus just, he was tired. He needed sleep. He was physically drained. Now he was 100% man, but he was also, and he was 100% God. So being 100% man, he was flesh and blood. So he would suffer exhaustion just like you and I do. And this proves his humanity. God never sleeps or slumbers. The Bible tells us in Psalm 121 and 4, it says, "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep." But Jesus suffered exhaustion and he needed rest. He needed sleep. He lived in this life as 100% man. He suffered just as you and I do. And this ought to bring us joy. This ought to bring us peace. This ought to help us in our times of need of knowing that he understands what we're going through. The Bible tells us in Philippians 2, 6 and 7 that who been in the form of God did not consider robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He came like you. He came like me. He came with all the struggles that you and I face, all the temptations that you and I face. He came just like us. And because we have a God that can identify with us, he doesn't sit on a throne not knowing what we're facing. Hebrews 4 and 15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." His humanity is seen here in this text because he called on these boys to help him get to the other side. He was worn out by the crowd. He was tired and needing sleep. But we don't only see his humanity. We also see his deity. While he is 100% man, he is 100% God. And Jesus proves he's God in this text. As they were sailing, Jesus being 100% man and tired, he went to sleep on the boat. And he was asleep. As he was asleep, the storm arose. And with the waters raging and the water filling the boat, the disciples began to panic. They began to panic. And he was in the boat. What he said is, "Let us go to the other side." Do we believe Jesus' promises? Do we believe he's going to do what he says he's going to do? He said, "Let us go to the other side." That ought to have sunk into their heads.
We're going to the other side.
It doesn't matter what circumstances are around us. It doesn't matter what comes our way. We're going to the other side. I want to tell you, folks, I'm going to the other side. I'm not going to stay on this side. Death may come my way. It may come in many forms and many fashions, but I'm going to the other side. He said I could go, and He's riding along with me. He's living inside of me, and because He's living inside of me, I know without a doubt I'm going to the other side. Aren't you glad you're going to the other side? If you're not on your way to the other side, you need to get on your way. The only way is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here, these disciples were in a panic. They were in a panic. In a time when they should have been confident, no matter their circumstances. They were going to the other side. Jesus, He would see to that. Now, we must remember that we are to be the example to this world, especially when it comes to trust in Jesus. What's a shame is when someone who doesn't have a relationship with God through Jesus is trusting God's going to keep us safe more than those who profess to be Christians. We have to be the example. If we as the church are in a panic when God has told us, I will not destroy the world with water, when God has promised us that we can be with Him, that He's prepared a place for us, that no matter what comes our way, death is our friend. He's no longer our enemy. He's our way to get to God. If we're showing panic in this world, then we're not being the example God would have us to be. No matter what our circumstances look like, we can know that God's promises are true. He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. He has a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us, a plan to give us a future. When we are weak, we are made strong in His strength. Our footsteps are ordered by Him, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We can trust all His promises. Folks, He's working things out. I don't understand how. But He's working things out for our good and for His glory. And we don't have to understand what's going on around us. But we do have to trust Him. Trust His Word. And I don't understand why we've been hit by two major storms the way we've been hit by them in the last 23 months. But I'm trusting God in the midst of it. I'm still leaning on my high tower. I'm still running toward my refuge. My faith is in Jesus. Not what we do with a levy. Not what the government says we can do with the rivers and swamps. Not what CSX might do. No matter how much preparation we prepare for, I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in Jesus. Because He will see us through. The disciples, what we find in the midst of their storm, they ran to Jesus. Here they are in the boat and they go to Him. They say, crying out, Master, Master, we perish. They saw themselves in trouble and they ran to Jesus. They did exactly what they should have done. And they did exactly what we should do. When it appears that the world's falling down all around us, we don't run and hide. We run to our refuge. We run to Jesus. Why? Because Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. You know, He saw our trouble before the trouble came. He made provisions to where we would be able to be right here today. Before the foundation of the world, He knew the storm would come and we would be here. God done all of that for us. There's nothing wrong with recognizing there's trouble around us, but we can't allow the trouble to cripple us. We must trust in the One who's bigger than the trouble of this world. We must trust the One who's bigger than the trouble that the world throws at us. Psalm 23:4, David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me.
Folks, we don't run away from God in the midst of trouble. We run to God. And when we run to God, we find help. We find help. Here, the Bible teaches us that Jesus rebuked the winds. They came running to Him, and He rebuked the wind and the raging water. He spoke, and the winds and the waters obeyed, and immediately the storm was calmed. He has the power to speak and calm the storm. I don't know what storms are going on in your lives, but what I do know is Jesus has the power to speak to that storm. And if you feel He's not speaking to the storm, just hold on. His grace is sufficient. Paul felt that God wasn't speaking to his storm. Paul said, "Take this away from me and I'll serve you better." He said, "My grace is sufficient." Jesus has all power to calm any storm within us. Storms of suffering and bankruptcy, storms of temptation and loss, storms of lust and anger and grief and persecution. But the only way these storms in our lives can be calmed is for us to go to Jesus. You may think you're conquering them, but they're going to be right back real soon. And they'll come with a vengeance. But if we trust in Jesus, if we trust in Jesus, He can remove the storm. Now, I don't know what news you follow, but I remember hearing a meteorologist say, there's nothing to prevent this storm from coming across as a Category 4 or 5. And I thought to myself, when it come out of his mouth, you don't know the God we're praying to. With all that this storm as a Category 1 done, can you imagine what it would have done as a Category 4? And God said, calm down. God said, calm down. You can hover around them. You can scare them, but you're not going to have them. You're not going to have them. Aren't you glad we serve a God who loves us and He shields us? God is the source of power that brings calmness in the storms of life. And we must acknowledge we need Him. We must acknowledge that He is our only help. And we must believe that if we go to Him, He'll come on the scene. Man, there were people praying all over the Carolinas. And I believe there were people praying all over the United States for us. And we're here today. We serve a big God. We inconvenienced for a few days, some more than others. We were inconvenienced. Some of us has got to go back and work on homes, but we're still here. God has blessed us. As we close, I want us to notice something. Jesus looks at these boys and He asks, "Where is your faith?" And their response is a look of astoundment and awe. The Bible declares that they were afraid and they marveled. They were afraid. Now, we've watered down that a lot. And I'm guilty as any other preacher. We've watered down that fear of God. Talking about we have to reverence Him, and we do reverence God. And in some texts, I think that's what the Greek or the Hebrew meaning is, that we reverence Him. But there are some texts that I do believe that we are to fear Him. We are to be afraid. Because the same God that calmed the storm can consume us by the storm. We need to be afraid of Him. I don't know about you, but I remember when I got saved. You know what I was? Afraid. I was afraid of dying and going to hell.
I was afraid that hell would be my eternal home. It was fear that caused me to call upon the name of the Lord. We don't want to preach and we don't want to teach hellfire and brimstone no more. But I want to tell you, it was the fear of hell that called, that drew me to God. But it's the love of God that has kept me. It's the love of God that causes me to spend time in His Word. It's the love of God that causes me to trust Him. But it was the fear of God that caused me to run to Him. I don't know about you. You may have been told that how wonderful a God He was, and you just ought to serve Him. And if you've told that, God bless your heart. I was told just how great and powerful He was and what He could and couldn't do and how my life would be a mess if I didn't know Him as my Savior when I left this world. That scared the daylights out of me. You dream year in and year out of laying in a casket. As a skeleton with your nameplate wrapped around your neck in utter darkness. Dream that for a few years. It'll scare you too. Because it wasn't a few dreams. It was a few years. It scared me. But the love of God keeps me. Listen, we better be afraid of Him. He's our Heavenly Father. And we better know that He has all power. These boys were afraid because the wind and the waters obeyed His rebuke. And we, if the wind that we can't control and the water that we drink, that we must have in our bodies to survive and that will destroy this world as it did in Noah's day. If He can control that, if they obey Him, shouldn't we obey Him? Yeah, I think we should obey Him. These boys, they were in fear. They were in amazement of what He could do. Miss Linda posted this past week on our Facebook account, "A hurricane scares you, but the mention of hell doesn't bother." Oh, it's sad. I want to tell you, you're in a miserable life today if you were more afraid of the hurricane than you were of God. Standing before God, not knowing His Son is your Lord and Savior. If that doesn't scare you, He might give you your wish. Just might give you your wish. I pray that God's plan is for this world to continue to stand, because there's people who need to be saved. There's people who need another opportunity to know this man Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Reedy Branch Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope that this message inspires you to love the gospel, live the gospel, and share the gospel. May God richly bless you this day.